I just wasn't crazy about the direction of the country. I've always been very patriotic, always loved the country, big watcher of especially things on the federal level, and just watching what was going on, getting very upset. When the Affordable Care Act came out of the Senate at midnight Christmas Eve 2009, that was pretty much the turning point at that point. And I just said, you know, I do love the country. I feel like professional politicians like Dick Durbin are ruining it. I'm going to do what I can to save it. So just started working from there and formulating things and announced last July, and here we are.
Let me stay on the health care law, because that's something I believe you have indicated you'd like to see that repealed. And if so, is there something that could take that place and actually help people who are uninsured?
Yeah, and I would like to see it repealed. I mean, there's a couple of things, mainly the pre-existing condition exclusion. We got to figure out something there. But if we could have just stopped and done just solely that at the time, I think everybody would have been pretty happy and we'd have kept moving. But in the whole healthcare debate that we have, everybody wants the price of the insurance to come down, and we want to get care to the uninsured. So what I'm saying is, you know, there's a lot of good ideas on the table, have been out there for years. I'm a big fan of opening a competition across state lines. Because right now in the small group and the individual market, you have to buy a policy inside the state in which you live. And if eBay told you you could only buy something from somebody in Illinois, you'd think they're crazy. And so why do we let the government tell us that about insurance? And so if you could go to Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kentucky and find the policy that matched your needs, you could buy it from them and they could sell it to you, you'd do it. And that's how the price of everything has always come down in our country and the quality's gone up. And then getting the care to the uninsured was the second thing. And I think that you know, you have to remember that as the price comes down, so will the amount of uninsured. Because if you couldn't buy the insurance to begin with, you're uninsured, it's not getting any better now. If we can get the price down, we'll actually get the number of uninsured down. But for those that are still remain uninsured, we could put some clinics in places where the uninsured are and let young doctors work off student loans, let older semi-retired doctors help out as they're able to. And that would get the care to the uninsured and get the price down. I think that's what everybody's looking for.
We're talking with Doug Truax. He's running for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate in Illinois. One area that the president says he would like to see dealt with, and certainly Senator Durbin backs this as well, is raising the minimum wage. How do you feel about that idea, raising it to, say, $10 an hour?
Well, I think what they're doing right now, by even bringing this up, it's pure distraction. It's pure politics. It's pure distraction because the economy's failing, Obamacare is failing, and they want you to look someplace else. And so I think it's incredibly disingenuous. But on the topic of minimum wage, it's about 1.6 million people in this country are on minimum wage. And so we need to make sure we keep an eye on the minimum wage. But arbitrarily showing up and saying we're going to raise it, businesses don't arbitrarily just take, you know, it's added expense. If you're going to tell them to raise their cost, they're going to actually end up letting other people go. So it's basically turned into it'd be a wealth transfer from low-income people to other low-income people, because you would have some people that would just go from their current minimum wage down to $0 per hour, and other people would go up a little bit, but you'd have people out of work. And so one of the things I've said is, let's take the politics out of this thing. Let's 2 years from now, let's keep the minimum wage where it is, and then 2 years from now or whatever we would figure out, let's put a small cost of living adjustment on it so that businesses know when that would happen, and then 2 years after that, another cost of living adjustment on it. Because what we're doing is we're arbitrarily turning it into a political tool.
How do you see getting the economy going? What issues need to be dealt with there?
Well, I think that first and foremost, we've got regulation, you know, and we're seeing that in Obamacare. It's really holding a lot of businesses back because they don't know exactly what's coming. The president has unilaterally changed the law 15 times now. That has significant consequences. See, the business world does not like uncertainty. When they have uncertainty, they hesitate to hire, to move forward. So the more this unilateral changing of laws happens, especially in Obamacare, when the businesses are still trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen, it leads to greater economic decline. You know, these federal agencies, they spring to life and they never die. They just grow and grow and grow. And so one of the things I put out on a press conference, one of the first things I would do as a senator from Illinois is propose legislation that would make every federal agency rejustify every federal regulation every 5 years. Because right now there's no mechanism in place to do that. And it makes businesses, the more federal government gets involved all over the place, it makes them less hesitant to go here and work there because there's some regulator out there that might show up and tell them they've been breaking three laws they didn't even know about. So we just have got to get this mindset, you know, people are ready to get the federal government going the other direction, Because once you do that, get regulation down, get businesses moving again, you also send the message that the federal government's done growing, which is less spending, less taxes. Because if you're a business owner and you want to hire somebody and you think you're going to get a higher tax rate down the road and just going to have to fire them, nobody wants to do that. And that's what we've got right now.
And those are a lot of them domestic issues we've talked about. Take a look at foreign policy. And being a West Point graduate, you were in the Army. You said you pay a lot of attention to some of these issues. How do you feel the Obama administration has done, and what changes would you like to see there?
Well, I think on the foreign policy front, we should always have a foreign policy in our country that's strong and focused. And I have worn the uniform. I've raised my hand to defend the Constitution of my life, so I take very seriously. I don't take lightly at all sending people to combat. But I've also read a lot of history books. And the more weakness there is on the world stage from the lone superpower, the closer you get to conflict and instability. And the more strength you have from the lone superpower, the more stable and less conflict you have. So what I think is going on is this leadership from behind is actually pushing us closer to conflict. And I think Iran's a great example. There's almost 60 senators that want to reimpose the sanctions, but President Obama's not going to go along with it, nor is Senator Durbin. They believe that the Iranians are not going to build a bomb, even though they've said they want to and said they won this last round. This bipartisan group of senators want to reimpose sanctions because they are working. But the longer we let this go, the closer it is that Israel has to make a tough decision, and the closer we get to actual war and more loss of life. So it's this leadership from behind that pushes us closer to conflict. And like I said, I'm not here advocating for armed conflict around the globe. I'm not saying that at all. But the reality of the situation that we face is oftentimes the same as, like, you know, when you were a kid and the bully would pick on you. If you didn't stand up for yourself, he'd be back again the next day.
Looking at this primary election here, your opponent, Jim Oberweis, is a state senator. He's also run for several other offices. And while he's had limited success in some of those other bids for office, he is a businessman with pretty strong name recognition, especially in the Chicago area. Can you overcome that? And I guess the question really is, what needs to happen for you to win this race?
Well, yeah, he does have name recognition. But the problem is, when you lose five races in 11 years, a lot of that name recognition is negative. I'm a new face, just started the campaign last July. Jim's been at it for 12 years. I'm out there. I do all these. I'm out every night doing speeches and meeting with groups. Jim and I have had 14 competitive endorsement sessions with different townships and all those types of things. A lot of them out in the suburbs around here. Of the 14, I've won 12. Okay? And so now we're to a place where he's actually ducking out of debate. So he's basically, what he's doing right now is riding out on his name ID. And he says he's this changed candidate. Like, he's a different guy now, but yet he's refusing to put himself in front of Republican primary voters. So, you know, I make the point. I think people take a look at me and they say, hey, look, if Durbin's going to be beatable, if this is our time to really take him on. And so we're at a place where the Republican primary voters have to say who's going to be best to take on Durbin. And then I think that when they look at both of us, they're breaking my way by a large margin. The rest is just getting my name out there. And we're where we want to be.